Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea, top of the right circle, reels it in, hands it off. Carlson shoots off the post and home! William Carlson!
From the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, get saved, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal! It's Tomas Hertl, his first goal of the night!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chat, live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the... I'm fired up today, Chapman, and we're going to get into it in just a couple of minutes as to why I am so fired up. It has to do with Connor McDavid, and it's going to be a rare moment where I defend the greatest player in the world in the game today. However, we've got some news to talk about when it comes to the Vegas Golden Knights. That's coming up in just a little while as well. Will there be any changes on the horizon for Vegas? Not in one particular area. We'll dig into that in just a little bit. We've got the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash coming at you around 4:47 or so. And then hour number two, we are going to dive deep into the best NHL players to never win a Stanley Cup. It's a huge topic, one that I've spent a lot of time agonizing over, because the idea of Connor McDavid playing for a Stanley Cup for the first time in his career after 9 seasons is something that I've thought about and can't quite get out of my head, because when you sit back and you think about some of the greats that have never won it, they only had one shot. They only had one chance, and we might be in that era, in that situation for Connor McDavid. And so that's a topic I really want to dig into. And then we got one-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League in hour number two. It's going to be incredibly fun. An interesting Corey Perry stat that I think is just brilliant. And we'll also talk about some rumblings around the National Hockey League in regards to Martin Natchez and Trevor Zegras. So to start off, Chapman, I told you I'm fired up. How are you doing today? Hump day, Wednesday, how you doing?
I'm not bad. I know you're fired up, so it's got me excited, because generally fired up Ryan Wallace means a good show. Not that it's okay, never a good show, but we seem to have epic shows when you get fired up. So,
okay, so listen, we all know the Stanley Cup Final is taking place at some point in time in the near future.
Next year.
On Saturday, Game 1 in Florida. It's the Edmonton Oilers, the Florida Panthers. First time Connor McDavid has made the Stanley Cup Final in his 9-year career. And so when you have, and we talked about this on Monday, when you've got 6 days to set the stage on a Stanley Cup Final, you are going to get into some wonky territory when it comes to hot takes. And listen, I am not above or below, I don't have any issues with clickbait, I don't have any issues with over-the-top ridiculous hot takes just for the sake of striking up conversation. Like, if that's who you are as a journalist, that's who you are. I don't have any problem with that. You do you. It's fine. Are you familiar with Greg Cody? And like, I went through painstaking research to make sure that I was pronouncing his last name correctly, because I can't come on here and get the pronunciation wrong when I'm going to rail on him in terms of journalistic integrity. So it's Greg Cody. Are you familiar with him at all?
I wasn't until today.
Okay. So like you, I wasn't familiar at all with Greg Cody until today. And I know the column was maybe a couple of days old, but he has a column for the Miami Herald in which I think the whole point, the entire premise of what he does, is to say ridiculous things with the hope that something's going to stick and it becomes a major talking point in some form or another. Because here's what he had to say leading into the Stanley Cup Final featuring Connor McDavid for the first time in his career. This is from Greg Cody's column. Quote, Connor McDavid is overrated. Boom. He puts up big, impressive stats. Yes, fine. But should he really be called, quote, generational? Called the best player in the sport when in 9 seasons he is yet to lead his team to a Stanley Cup? Edmonton, Cody points out, truly had one of those players once. His name was Wayne Gretzky. And why the Oilers bunched 5 Stanley Cup wins in 1984 to 1990. McDavid, not no Gretzky. He has the requisite nicknames, McJesus, the chosen one, but he has not proved beyond stats transcendent, able to lift a franchise to ultimate heights. Mick overrated. Okay, so I want to touch on one thing right off the bat here. He referenced 5 Stanley Cup championships for the Edmonton Oilers. Wayne Gretzky only 4. So his entire premise in terms of this, quote, hot take, right, is that Wayne Gretzky single-handedly delivered Stanley Cup championships to the Edmonton Oilers. And yet, they won one without Wayne Gretzky. Listen, if you're going to throw that take out there, do you. It's fine. I don't care. It's fine. Be right about it. Chapman, you're breaking my heart, buddy.
Well, oh, I gotcha. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
I'd just like you to be right about it.
Exactly, Paul Maurice. this guy is writing for the Miami Herald, and he's not even right about the thing that he's talking about. Now, here's the reason why I wanted to bring this up. Again, I have no issue, none, with hot takes. I really don't care. It doesn't matter to me. It's fine. Do you? However, it does bring up a really interesting question. Do you, as a generational talent in the National Hockey League, do you have to have championship on your resume? Does Connor McDavid need to have a championship beside his name when all is said and done to be considered the best of his generation? Does Connor McDavid's legacy require a Stanley Cup championship victory? Because to be honest with you, when I look at Connor McDavid, when I see what he's been able to accomplish in 9 seasons in the National Hockey League in this era, putting up video game numbers at a time where we didn't believe that was ever going to be a thing that happened again, I don't necessarily believe McDavid needs a Stanley Cup. It would be nice to have it, because when you look at other sports, right, the NBA, generally speaking, the best player wins championships. When you look at the NFL, the best quarterback wins championships. But in the National Hockey League, there are a lot of players that have been considered the best of their era, the best of their time, that have been in that top 3, top 5, top 10 consideration. They've never won. But it doesn't take away how great they were when they were playing. Hockey is not the same as the NBA. Hockey is not the same as football. One individual cannot deliver a championship by themselves. If they could, Henrik Lundqvist would have won a Stanley Cup, let alone been to more than one Stanley Cup final. Roberto Luongo would have won a Stanley Cup, let alone only been to one Stanley Cup final. That's the part of this that I'm having a hard time with. The idea that you are conflating Connor McDavid's individual greatness with a sport where you need a team to win, and it's been proven time and again that one guy is not going to be able to single-handedly get it done. Nor did Wayne Gretzky single-handedly get it done for the Edmonton Oilers, because let's just ignore the fact that he had Mark Messier and Jari Kurri and Kevin Lowe and Grant Fuhr. We're talking about all these Hall of Famers. This is just a ridiculous take on the premise that you are saying it's all Gretzky and none of the other players that were stars for that Edmonton Oilers team.
Well, I don't know Greg, and I don't know how well Greg knows hockey, but first of all, the take is asinine, because let's look at this objectively. Greg probably knows basketball pretty well. Michael Jordan did not get to an NBA Finals until his seventh season in the league. Shaquille O'Neal did not win an NBA title until his eighth season in the league. Now, I know he got to a Finals earlier, and he lost. He was outplayed by Hakeem Olajuwon, but that's not the point. If we're basing how rated a player is based on whether or not they get to a championship or win a championship, there's a lot of great players in the history of every sport that have never won anything. And you're right. Hockey is the ultimate team sport. I think football is in the conversation as well. But like in the NBA, if you have a dominant player, like there was never a doubt that once Kobe Bryant found his game and he became the best player in the NBA, that he was going to be denied a title. Like I think if Charles Barkley, who never won a title, but had Charles Barkley played in this era, he would have won a title. Because every superstar in the NBA wins a title today. It just seems like that's the case. And I know someone will say, oh, well, this guy didn't win a title. Well, then they're probably not a superstar in the NBA. But I do think in the case of Connor McDavid, we have to look at who he's compared to. He's going to be compared to Gretzky, whether it's fair or not. He's going to be compared to Mario Lemieux, whether it's fair or not. He's going to be compared to Sidney Crosby, to Nathan MacKinnon. I mean, those guys all have championships. They all have titles. You know who doesn't? Austin Matthews. And you know, we watch Austin Matthews put up video game numbers, but nobody's making the case that he's the best player in the world. Probably because he's not. But the point is, every player that McDavid is going to be compared to across his entire career and throughout the history of the NHL, they all have their name on the Stanley Cup. And for his legacy, I think he needs to have his name inscribed on the cup. Whether or not it's fair or not, it doesn't matter. Because okay. Let me jump in here.
Let's just project out 10, 11 years into the future. Connor McDavid hangs him up. Never won a Stanley Cup. He's not a Hall of Famer?
Well, yeah, I mean, Hall of Fame, that doesn't make him, that doesn't put him in the conversation of best ever.
How does it not?
Because,
like,
because
if you're talking about McDavid at 2,000 career points, right? Done everything that you can possibly do. He's dominant in terms of his individual statistics. Probably wins a couple of gold medals with Team Canada. It's the Hockey Hall of Fame, not the NHL Hall of Fame. And he's been every bit as good his entire career, but just wasn't able to win a championship like Henrik Lundqvist, like Pavel Bure, like Jarome Iginla. Like, no one's debating the greatness of those players.
No, but no one is also calling them the greatest.
There's a lot of people in terms of era, in terms of generation. Like, Jarome Iginla was right there.
He was a generational.
Pavel Bure was right there.
They were
there.
Both fantastic players, but Pavel Bure, the knock on him is that he didn't win a championship. And in order to be considered the greatest, and I don't know if we'll ever call McDavid the greatest ever, right? Because there's two guys who played when you and I were in grade school who probably could make the case for being the greatest ever, and it would be very hard to overtake either one of them. But I think when you're talking in terms of legacy, in order for his name to be mentioned with the Gretzky's, with the Lemieux, with the Messiers,
this is where I disagree.
The Guy Lafleurs
If McDavid never wins a Stanley Cup, when all's said and done, he's going on the Mount Rushmore.
No, I don't know. I don't. If you don't do the ultimate thing in the sport that everybody who laces him up goes out to do,
But everyone admits and accepts the idea that it's not an individual thing.
No, it's not.
But you can't will a team as one player to win. You can't do it. It's not possible.
There will be people out there, and I'm not one of them because I'm the guy who says you go out and you make every single dollar and every single penny you can. But there'll be people who say, well, if he wanted to win badly enough, he would have taken less money so his team could have signed better players to put around him. There will be people who make that argument. And maybe later in his career that if he doesn't win. Mm-hmm. But I think we're having this conversation. I think the conversation we're having is going to be a moot point because Connor McDavid is going to win a Stanley Cup. Like it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. Because
you know, I tend to agree with you there. I just don't know if it's going to be now.
It may not be.
And so many times when we start to think about this idea, right? Like, when is the best player going to put it all together? Like, there have been some unique circumstances. Wayne Gretzky, Sidney Crosby, like, those players came into the league, and it's different circumstances for Gretzky for sure, but, like, they won early. And it makes it look as if it's supposed to be easy, and it's not. Like, how, for every Sidney Crosby and Wayne Gretzky, there's a Steve Yzerman out there that had to grind and grind and grind for years only to finally break through when they weren't in their, quote, prime, right? Like, for every Sidney Crosby and Wayne Gretzky, there's an Alex Ovechkin that's the best goal scorer of his generation, probably the best goal scorer to ever play the game, and yet it took him almost a decade and a half to finally raise the Stanley Cup. This idea inherently in the take that I have an issue with is the fact that it's taken McDavid too long to get to a cup final.
See, and I don't.
We all know where the Edmonton Oilers were when they drafted Connor McDavid. When you're drafting first overall, you're not a good hockey team.
No.
And yes, the Oilers have struck gold with McDavid and Draisaitl, and those two players have done a brilliant job over the course of their careers in terms of the counting stats. I'm not denying that. But the fact of the matter is, you cannot just pin this all on McDavid. Like, if the Oilers win, it's not McDavid doing all the heavy lifting. It's the Oilers winning as a team, and their leader is Connor McDavid. And I just inherently have an issue with this idea that you're going to compare McDavid's situation to Gretzky's situation, and it's just ridiculous.
Well, yeah,
on the surface, it's ridiculous. When you really parse it through, it's ridiculous because you're talking about the 5 championships for the Oilers, of which Gretzky was only a member of 4. Those, and if you want to even take it a step further, Gretzky never won a championship without Mark Messier. So really, who was propping up who?
Well, yeah, and Messier went and won one with the Rangers. So, you know, I think that there's two things here because I think the idea that he's overrated is stupid. It's ridiculous. Like, go watch a game, Greg, and watch what McDavid does on the ice. The idea that because he hasn't won a title, that doesn't make him overrated. Like, it's an unbelievable sport. It's so difficult to win, you know, which is why we see so few repeat champions. And I really appreciate what the Tampa Bay Lightning did. Like, I think them going back to back is amazing. But when you look at it from a distance and you think about, okay, they did one in the bubble, and then they came back and won one in a 56-game season. That's not on par with what the other repeat champions throughout the course of NHL history have done. That's not like anything like what the Islanders did. You know, it's nothing.
Well, I mean, just look at the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Right. That Penguins team, like, with Lemieux and Tom Barrasso.
No, I'm talking about Sid, the Pittsburgh Penguins in 16 and 17.
Yeah.
They went back to back.
Yeah, but they didn't do it in a shortened game season. Yeah, no bubble for them. Right. And I know it's not Tampa's fault, but I just can't look at them in the same light that I look at the Penguins and the other teams that have repeated, even in this century, you know, or this, I guess, century, right? I mean, but I think the thing is, I don't buy this overrated because you haven't made a final or haven't made a championship. Like, that's just ridiculous. But I do think in order to cement his legacy as, as you say, Mount Rushmore, I think he needs a cup. But I think he'll get one. I don't think if you and I are still doing this in 10 years, I don't think we'll be having the conversation, oh, my God, McDavid's getting ready to hang him up and he hasn't won. Like, I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't know if it means he's I don't know if he's going to have to leave Edmonton to do it. But I think at some point, if the Oilers have not won and McDavid starts to get into that point in his career where maybe he's the Oilers are a fifth place team in the Pacific and they're not going to be in the playoffs, but McDavid's still playing at a high level, they may do him a solid and trade him to a contender. Like
let's try to figure this out. Is Connor McDavid overrated?
Absolutely
I say
not.
No.
Absolutely not.
Okay, you say no. Is Connor McDavid the best player of his generation?
Skill wise, yes. Yes, he is. Skill wise.
From players that were drafted in his draft class. You can open the window like two or three seasons prior to right now. Like, is Connor McDavid the best player in the game right now? Is he the best player of this generation?
I think probably, yeah. Probably so.
Well, who's better?
I'd have to look
at... Sidney Crosby's not in his generation.
No,
Alex Ovechkin's not in his generation.
Patrick Kane
isn't in his generation.
When was McKinnon drafted?
Around when McDavid was drafted?
I think McKinnon has
maybe
a really
a
strong case.
Earlier?
I think Nathan McKinnon has a strong
case. You think Nathan McKinnon is a better player
generation
than
skill-wise, Connor McDavid? I don't think he's a better player skill-wise, but Nathan McKinnon has that championship, and that matters. It has to matter. That's why you put the skates on. You don't go – Connor McDavid's not out there to rack up stats and not win.
See, I have a hard time believing that just because Nathan McKinnon was playing on a team with Mikko Rantanen and Gabriel Landeskog and Cale Makar that he's somehow more generational than Connor McDavid.
Yeah, but McDavid, you're making it seem like McDavid's out there skating with a bunch of scrubs. I mean,
he's skating with?
He's got Evan Bouchard.
He's got Evan Bouchard. Evan Bouchard, Cale Makar.
Draisaitl's won an MVP.
Is Evan Bouchard Cale Makar?
No, of course not. Cale Makar's the best defenseman in the NHL.
All right, so that comparison doesn't.
Yeah, but he's got Leon Draisaitl.
It just doesn't.
Draisaitl's got an MVP.
Okay, so he's got Draisaitl. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is one of those players that amasses a ton of points.
The guy scored 100 points last year, but he scored 100
points. Yes, Chapman, and you and I had the conversation in the moment, right? Is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins the most lackluster 100-point player in the National Hockey League? Yeah.
But he still got
was
the 100
that,
points.
Was he that this year? No.
No.
He's not. Like, Zach Hyman, great player, but Zach Hyman's not a superstar in this league. He scores goals where? Right from the top of the crease. Like, I guess my point is you can separate the generational talent of Connor McDavid from having to have a championship. There's no one that's better right now than Connor McDavid. Like, listen, you can sell me, you can entertain the idea that Leon Draisaitl is every bit as good as Connor McDavid. Fine, that's okay. But in terms of this generation, as much as you want that debate, it doesn't hold up. He's better than everybody.
He's got to win the championship, I think, in order to cement that legacy.
So what do you do with Henrik Lundqvist and Roberto Luongo, who played in the same generation and never won a championship?
I don't think anyone's...
Is Jonathan Quick the generational talent there?
No, but the difference is nobody's... I mean, Luongo and Lundqvist are great goalies. They had amazing careers. But nobody says they're in the same realm as Hasek or Waugh.
I'm not talking about the past generation. No, I'm talking about this generation right now.
But what I'm saying is those guys
this
have
generation.
Listen, in order to be considered the greatest player of your generation, you have to win. You have to win.
So then tell me who's the best goalie of Henrik Lundqvist and Roberto Luongo's generation.
I don't really know if there is one.
That's wild. That's wild to me. Like, it's clearly Luongo or Lundqvist. One of the two.
Yeah, but they didn't win. They didn't win.
This is wild. I get it. I'm very much a win a championship, validate who you are type of person. But when it comes to McDavid, there's no validation needed at this point. Like, it would be nice. And I think that he yearns for a championship. Every player, as you mentioned, wants to win a title. But in this sport, where it is not easy for star players to snap their fingers and win, it shouldn't be a prerequisite to identifying and accepting their greatness. It shouldn't.
I mean, we're not talking about the all-time greatest goalie, though. Like that's the thing. You can be a very good goalie, and they're both Hall of Fame goalies. But without that name on the Stanley Cup, it just doesn't mean the same.
There you have it. Jonathan Quick, the greatest goaltender of his generation. Take a break.
He's the winningest, right? Him and Corey Crawford are the winningest goalies of their generation. They won when it mattered.
You know, Antti Niemi is a better goaltender than Henrik Lundqvist, according to Christopher Chapman. We're going to take a break. Come back with more on the VGK Insider Show.
It's all over. The Toronto Maple Leafs have won the Stanley Cup. The Leaf players pour over the boards. They pound Armstrong on the back and they pummel Sotcha. Keon played outstanding hockey during the playoffs and was awarded the Conn Smythe Trophy for his efforts. This team, they said, was too old and too slow, has come back to win the biggest prize in hockey history, the coveted Stanley Cup. Clarence Campbell, president of the National Hockey League, congratulates the winners as George Armstrong holds the cup aloft, a glittering symbol of pro hockey supremacy. The new champions are later saluted in the traditional way, a parade to Toronto's City Hall. It's the end of an era. A half century of NHL hockey comes to a close with the Toronto Maple Leafs reigning as Stanley Cup champions. A new season will bring expansion. Six new teams in six great cities, 12 teams in all, on the trail of the Stanley Cup.
Interact with the guys on X. Follow them at Darren Millard and at Ryan the Hockey Guy. This is the VGK Insider Show.
Oh, that's immaculate. That's Alex Trebek narrating the scene, the experience of the last time the Toronto Maple Leafs won a Stanley Cup. And if you caught on at the end there, the last time the Maple Leafs won a Stanley Cup, there were only six teams in the National Hockey League.
57 years ago.
Let that one sink in for just a moment. They have never won a Stanley Cup in the expansion era. Toronto. Toronto Maple Leafs.
Every other original six team has won at least one cup in the expansion era, except Toronto.
It's pretty remarkable the mediocrity that has set in for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And you know who's not mediocre? That's Alex Trebek. That's a great pull, Chapman. Obviously, that piggybacks off of your catching up with Chapman yesterday, where you went to game show host Matt Rushmore. You've got Alex Trebek on there. You've got Bob Barker on there. I know that you've kind of wrestled with a couple of different lineups for your Mount Rushmore. I'm telling you right now, like, it's Bob Barker and Alex Trebek, and like, I would just expand their portraits on the mountain.
Yeah, everyone
like,
else
that,
is
that's
fighting
what I would do
for the scraps of those two guys.
Yeah, like you can even like carve out another mountain and put everyone else there. Like, those are the only two that I think that belong on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
You can fight me in the comments or whatever, but, like, it's really those two guys head and shoulders above everybody else, and then there's everybody else.
I mean, Alex Trebek, generational talent, absolutely. But
yes,
also the greatest game show host of his generation, the greatest game show host of any generation.
Did he win a championship?
I think he won multiple championships. Maybe the Leafs gave him a ring for that great narration work.
For the narration? Yes. I just miss his voice.
You know,
such a great voice.
I would watch. And it's not that I don't like Ken Jennings, because I do. I find him mm-hmm. when they were going through who was going to replace him. First of all, nobody can replace Alex Trebek. So let's just
sure.
full
yeah.
stop right there. But obviously, the show was going to go on, and I think Ken Jennings is good. I like Ken Jennings, but he's no Alex Trebek. I was actually hoping it was going to be LeVar Burton, because I really like LeVar mm-hmm. Burton. I'm not a big Trekkie, but I used to watch Star Trek The Next Generation. I always liked his role in that. Reading Rainbow.
You say Star Trek, and, like, the only thing that I'm picturing in my head when you say LeVar Burton is Reading Rainbow.
Rainbow.
That's,
yeah,
like,
mean,
you
was,
said his name,
yeah.
and I had the song going on in my head.
That's my
generation.
Oh, yeah. That was my generation, too. I mean, I think, but LeVar Burton did so much, but he wasn't very good. I shouldn't say he wasn't very good. He wasn't as good as some of the other people that they had. Filling in mm-hmm. as host. I thought, I always say her name wrong. Is it Mayim Bialik?
That's well done on the pronunciation.
I mean,
good
she
job.
Was she was on Blossom when I was a teenager, and then
yeah.
obviously
yeah.
Big Bang Theory, but she's really good. And some of the others, like believe it or not, I liked Aaron Rodgers too. I thought Aaron Rodgers was good. But
so here's the thing with Jeopardy, right? Like, you have to be really smart to be an effective host for Jeopardy.
Right.
You just do, because, like, you have to be able to throw in those subtle jokes when you have contestants that just don't know what it is that they're talking about. And you've got to be knowledgeable, not just about, like, you know, book smart things, but literally everything. Like, you've got to be knowledgeable when it comes to sports, when it comes to science, when it comes to psychology, like all these different areas you have to be incredibly knowledgeable about to be able to pull off some of the jokes and some of the jabs and some of the one-liners that Alex Trebek so seamlessly was able to pull off when he was running the show.
I think maybe the most impressive thing for him was the pronunciations. Like, mm-hmm. if there is a foreign language category, the way he would deliver the quote in whatever the language was, or if there was a category about mythology or religion, how he could just spit out the name of the god or the writer of the particular mm-hmm. whatever, and flawless. Like, it was flawless. The delivery was I mean, I can barely say the names of half the guys in the NHL, and here's Trebek just rattling off the names of characters in the Iliad like it's no big deal. And it's like, all right, how many times has he read that? He's probably read the book backwards. He knows the names so well. But he's the best. And I don't really – and even, look, I love Bob Barker. I used to – like, I don't think I'm speaking for a generation when I say this. Boy, that's a word we're throwing around a lot, right? An entire generation.
Sure.
But
yep.
I can remember, and I'm sure you do as well, and everybody listening, when you were young – you didn't feel like going to school, you would tell your mom you weren't feeling well, and at 10 o'clock or whatever time it was that The Price is Right came on, your butt was parked in front of mm-hmm. the TV watching The Price is Right, yelling out the prices of whatever item they're bidding on, playing the mountain climber game, which, by the way,
yeah.
that was like my favorite game, and I used to like it when they'd lose because the little mountain climber would go over the edge and let out that little yell, and you're like, oh, that poor guy, he's not doing so
yeah.
well tonight, but...
Yeah,
like it was just like one of those things where you grew up with Bob Barker as part of your morning when you stayed home from school. Mm-hmm. And
yep,
I don't know if there's any other game show hosts. And there were some really good ones that people were throwing out, like Bob Eubanks was one that I had completely forgotten about. Someone had thrown out and I don't remember the name of the guy from Press Your Luck. But he was good. The original Press Your Luck. I know Elizabeth Banks does yeah. it now, but the original guy,
so
he was good.
here's the thing with Press Your Luck. Like, it wasn't about the host. It was simply about the whammy. Like, come on.
I could not have been alone in wanting the whammy to come up and get the person. Like I don't know about you, but I always rooted for the whammy.
Yeah.
Because it was funny. It was, you know, the little little red whammy pops up and he may sing a song or, but you know, he's chirping. He's chirping at the person whose money he just took. Like, that was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great stuff. My favorite thing about Trebek was how annoyed he was at the contestants when they clearly knew nothing about sports. Like, if you want peak Alex Trebek, like, brilliance, just Google, YouTube, some of those. Alex Trebek gets frustrated when people don't know about sports on Jeopardy, and it's going to be incredibly entertaining. My favorite thing about Bob Barker was just how calm he was in pandemonium. Like, just everything is happening all at once, and Bob Barker's just like the coolest cat in the room.
Yeah.
And then whenever somebody would go over, or like they'd miss out on the double showcase by like a dollar, he'd just be like, well, tough luck.
Yeah.
So those are the things I love about Alex Trebek and Bob Barker. But speaking of voices, some good news in VGK land today, as earlier today, Dave Gosher announced that he is not going anywhere. He announced that on the Mercedes in the Morning show on 94.1. Earlier today, there were some rumblings, some rumors, if you will, that with Jack Edwards stepping down and retiring as the play-by-play voice of the Boston Bruins on TV, that Dave would be in the mix, in the running for that job. But that all that put to bed, and Dave Gosher not going anywhere. So no changes, at least from where we sit, in terms of the Golden Knights television broadcast for next season. Dave Gosher, right where he should be. And listen, like, when you are in a band as successful as Double Minor, like, and you're living in Vegas, why would you go anywhere else?
Yeah, I mean, can't blame him for wanting to stick around. That's for sure.
You don't sound convinced of that.
No. I mean, I don't know what else you want me to add. I mean, Gosh is a great guy. We always love chatting with him, always love having him on. I always like bumping into him away from the game and having conversations with him. I mean, unbelievable mind when it comes to music, great voice. I mean, I'm glad he's sticking around. I enjoy talking to Gosh, and I know the fans really enjoy listening to him, so you know, we get to enjoy him a little bit more, and we're all thrilled about that.
Yeah, my favorite conversations with Gosh are conversations that have nothing to do with hockey. Like, if you can get Dave Gosher talking about music, that's where it's at. That's where it's the most fun, and I'm ecstatic that he's going to be around, because that means he's going to be on the pregame show as well on the radio side of things. So great stuff there. Take a break. Come back with the Legal Minute. Ash, the attorney, she's going to stop by to talk a little fighting in NASCAR. That's coming up next on the VGK Insider Show. It's the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash. If you're in a crash, call Sam and Ash, 702-820-1234, or go to samandashlaw.com. We've got Ash Watkins joining us, as she does generally every single week here on a Wednesday on the VGK Insider Show. Ash, how you doing?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
No,
we are doing well. Obviously, we're settling into a long week of no hockey before the Stanley Cup final starts on Saturday. Let's start there. Are you going to watch the Stanley Cup final? Like, listen, I know it's hard sometimes when your team isn't in it. The Golden Knights aren't there. We know how much fun it was last year, but you've got Florida, you've got Edmonton, Connor McDavid, Matthew Tkachuk. Are you going to watch the Stanley Cup final?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I haven't caught much of the playoffs, but I think I will actually watch the Stanley Cup Finals. I love this championship series. It's so impressive, and I don't know if I want to disclose who I'm rooting for, though. Have you guys picked
no.
teams?
So Yesterday on the show, we kind of did like a rooting guide for Golden Knights fans, more or less, just to gauge where everyone's at. I think that there's no real wrong answer here. I feel badly for the Florida Panthers for getting to the Cup Final and losing last year to the Golden Knights. So I think that there's that link between those two organizations. I feel like it would be kind of cool for the Panthers to win. But then you've got the best player in the world in Connor McDavid going for a championship. And if the Oilers win, then that's 3 years in a row that the Stanley Cup has been won by a team in the West and 2 years in a row won by a team in the Pacific Division. So it kind of strengthens how difficult of a division and conference it is for the Golden Knights. So really no wrong answers. If you're asking me, I'm rooting for, pulling for the Florida Panthers over the Edmonton Oilers, but I don't see an issue going either direction if you're so inclined.
Chapman, where are you headed?
Well, I felt bad for Florida, and I think I look at windows. Like, I look at their window, and I think McDavid, you know, we had the conversation in the first segment, me and Ryan, that we both think McDavid will win one. It's so hard for Florida to go back if they don't win again. I mean, they would have lost two years in a row. I don't know how large their window is, so I'm pulling for the Panthers in this one. Plus, they've never won before, so I always like to see first-time winners.
Yeah, okay, then I feel comfortable disclosing. I'm rooting for Florida. Like you guys, seeing them last year was tough. They were riddled with injuries, so I think this year's hopefully their year. And I, too, you know, like as first-timers winning last year, it's such an incredible experience for a fan base and an organization, so I love seeing them get that potential opportunity this year.
Yeah, and the beautiful thing about it is we don't have to have any anxiety when it comes to the games. We can sit back and watch some really good hockey. So I want to get into the topic today because it feels like we talk a lot about fights when it comes to this segment, but generally we're talking about hockey, and this is a scenario where we're stepping outside the realm of hockey, and we're going to discuss a fight that happened in NASCAR between Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Kyle Busch after a crash that involved the two of them. Essentially, Stenhouse, like, he crashed on lap two and waited 198 laps to confront Busch after the crash knocked him out. They had a conversation. Stenhouse threw the first punch, set off a scuffle. He was fined $75,000 by NASCAR. And I guess, like, when you factor all of this in, is $75,000, like, is that fine reasonable to prevent that type of behavior from happening again?
Well, it's definitely the largest, is from what I've read, that these drivers have faced for such incidents. But I think the critical thing is what you touched on. It was the 198 lap delay between the crash and the punch. I mean, like, that's what they're looking at. They're like, you had 198 laps to cool yourself down and get over this and get someone to cool you down, and you were unable to do it. And so as a result, we have to significantly send a message here. And look, we've seen this with fights in hockey. One of the things that the association looks at when they're levying these punishments is what kind of time and lead up and thought was there before the actual conduct that took place. And so here, that's what you're seeing.
Yeah. I mean, it's clearly premeditated by Stenhouse. And I guess, is there room to appeal this fine by Ricky Stenhouse Jr.?
Yeah, I think his deadline to appeal is pretty soon. And I don't know if he will. I mean, he might, but I mean, what are we appealing here? The severity of the amount? It's pretty clear what took place. And the organization has made it clear that one of the very determining factors is that 198 lap delay when they were deciding on the amount of the fine. So I think it's going to be tough for him.
Maybe I'm in the minority here.
You don't consider,
but I kind of wish NASCAR would just let them go. Like,
they generally do.
It's better. It's better that they blow steam off this way than trying to kill each other with these monster cars going 200 miles an hour. You know, so just let them go. Have like a little ring set up in pit row and let them just drop the gloves And Kyle Busch is no stranger to this type of stuff either, because I've seen him involved in multiple altercations.
Right. And you're absolutely right. When there's vehicles and high speeds involved, we don't want them to wait until the next race. But inevitably, these types of tension, mm-hmm. that does build up and it happens. But look, you can't sacrifice your own race at the next race. So I think NASCAR tends to allow these scuffles to take place if the crash happens on the last lap, or if a crash takes mm-hmm. out both drivers, then they're both in, you know, pit lane and it happens. And NASCAR's tended to allow it to happen or had more leeway with it, and the fines haven't been as significant. But when 198 laps, guys, that's a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of coming at it from a different perspective of Chapman. Like, listen, if you're going to sit there and you are going to plan this out and you are going to stew about it for a long time, and then you're going to go out over there and start a physical altercation, I don't really care about fining you. Why isn't he suspended?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm not sure why he's not suspended, and I'm uncertain, like, on what NASCAR's regulations are on these suspensions and what you would have to do to actually get that sort of punishment levied down on you. I don't know. He might need to race, though, to pay off that $75,000.
Now, let me ask you this, Ash, because in a hypothetical world, Ricky Stenhouse hypothetically breaks the orbital bone of Kyle Busch, mm-hmm. and he's now taking money out of Busch's pocket. He's unable to race until that heals. Maybe he can't see well. Does Busch, or would Busch, have any type of legal recourse in a situation like this?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not a racing incident, and so that's it's effectively an assault and battery. So if he were to sustain injuries, he would have every right to pursue Stenhouse for the damages it's caused.
You know, if you're listening to this and you are in a crash, number one, don't stew about it and get into a physical altercation. Call Ash at Sam and Ash, 702-820-1234, or go to samandashlaw.com to get your questions answered. Ash, when can people reach out to you?
24/7, you know, we're available weekdays, weekends, all day long. So if anything happens to you, or, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you've got a question, don't hesitate. If you want to write down a note and call in the morning, okay. But if not, give us a call. We're around.
That's great stuff. Ash, enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll do this again next week.
All right. Likewise, guys.
That is Ash with SamAndAshLaw.com. If you are in a crash, call Sam and Ash, 702-820-1234. We're back with hour number two of the VGK Insider Show next.
This has been the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash on the VGK Insider Show, brought to you by Sam and Ash. Visit them at SamAndAsh.com, because you deserve what's right.